wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Amen.
Amen.
We'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32, reads this way. It says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning, once again thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your people. And then, Lord, being reminded where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, I ask that you would just do a work in our hearts and minds that only you can do, that would honor and glorify you, and, Lord, empower our lives, that we might truly be the light and the salt that you've called us to be. May we set aside all the cares of this world just for a brief moment. May we focus on you. May you open up our hearts and minds and bring your light into our life as only you can, that we might truly understand what it means to be a servant of the living God and the light that you've called us to be. Bless and build Northwood and all your churches, Lord, for your honor and glory, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "While He Opened to Us the Scriptures." While He opened to us the Scriptures. And so this morning we want to consider the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with Him and with one another. God didn't just call us to have a relationship with Him. He called us to have a relationship with Him and with His people. Amen? That we might walk uprightly, that we might be the body of Christ that He's called us to be. And specifically here, we're talking about Northwood Baptist Church. This is a representation of the Lord's body, and that He's called and commissioned, by the way, to go out and share the gospel with His power. And so we thank the Lord for that. We're going to look at three thoughts this morning. That's going to be the times of trial in our faith. We're going to also consider the correct trust, but not the correct understanding, and also the correct understanding given by God. And so this is a work that the Lord wants us to understand. It's something that He does in our life and brings excitement, and it brings revival. Amen. It brings excitement and fire, and lives are changed because of the work that God does in our lives. But before we get started, I do want to kind of lay some groundwork here in understanding how the Lord works and how sometimes we misunderstand what the Lord is doing. You know, the Lord is the light of the world, amen? And that light is also the life of the believer. See, God brings light into our life that we might see that we are lost and undone, and we trust Him as our Savior, and He brings His light and His life into us that changes our direction, changes our whole understanding, changes our the way that we think, the way that we see the world. I mean, all of a sudden, the world changed the day that I got saved. I realized there is eternity. Amen. There is a life after this life, and there is a God in heaven that has created all things and cares for each and every one of us. And so we praise Him for that.
Let me do something here as we consider this text here. Let me show you, back up with me here, or go one page forward maybe, probably in your Bible, to the Gospel of John. And look at chapter 1, and look at verse 1. John 1, 1. And notice what it says here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The same was in the beginning with God. Listen, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Listen to this. And in Him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. The life of God brings the light to mankind. Amen? And so that's an important thing to consider here, and that's how God wants us to work. But listen, I want you to know that the Lord not only set an example for us, but He did things according to His way and His will that the Heavenly Father had given to Him. Listen, God had never become a human before when He did that through the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He was the God-man, but He submitted Himself under the authority. He was still God, never stopped being God, but He submitted Himself under the authority of the Lord. Listen, the Lord had a living life, right? That was the first time He was alive in the sense of as a human being, and He had a soul just like we do, but He also had, and by the way, that's what we think, that's how we feel, and all those kind of emotions and things of that nature, but then God has His will and His way as well. And so notice this, you're right there in the Gospel of John. Flip over there, if you would, to chapter 5, and look at verse 30. John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus speaking here, and notice what He says here. In John chapter 5, and notice verse 30, He says this, I can of mine own self do nothing. Listen to what He says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Did you see that? It's important. Listen, God the Son said, I'm not going to fulfill my will, my wishes, what I think, how I feel. I am submitting myself under the authority and work and way that God the Father has ordained for me to walk in. This is important because if we're not careful, we miss and we think, listen, well, we're saved. We have to be doing the will of God. Oh, no, 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 no. Just because we're saved does not mean that we are walking in God's ways and experiencing His power and His light that brings life into us and also into a lost and dying world. So let's consider a couple of things as well. And this is, again, just laying some groundwork here. Sometimes we can have different ideas. Look over, if you will, back up to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 20. And we're talking about believers here. Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to pick up in verse 21. Matthew 20, and notice verse 21. In fact, let's back up to verse 20. Then came to Him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping Him. She's worshiping Him. She's doing the godly thing, isn't she? She's worshiping the Lord and desiring a certain thing of Him. And He said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto Him, grant that these my two sons may sit on the right hand, the one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in the kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what you ask. You know what she's doing? She's asking out of her soul. She's asking out of this physical life and not according to the will of God, is she? Now, she's saved. She was worshiping Him, and her sons were children of God, right? But they were going in the wrong direction. They weren't asking really for what God wanted in their life. She was asking for what she thought she would like in the life of her children. Go over to the book of Luke, if you will. In fact, before we go to Luke, let's do this. Back up to Daniel, and if you can't get there fast enough here, I'll read it to you. But I want you to see what happens when the light of God comes into the life of a child of God. Listen to me. When the light of God comes into not a lost person, but into a child of God. Notice what happens here in Daniel chapter 10. And verse 8, remember Daniel was praying. It says, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. All of a sudden, he got into the very presence of the Lord, and when God revealed to him and showed him, and by the way, Daniel was a good man, amen? He was a godly man, and yet when he got before the Lord, there was no strength in him. Remember, also Isaiah did the very same thing. He was talking about how ungodly the people of God were, and then he got a vision of the Lord, and he couldn't move either, and he couldn't speak either. And also the angel, remember, got a live coal off the altar and touched his lips, and now he stood him up and was able to communicate and also able to talk. See, when God is working, we realize how finite we are. When the light of God enters into us, we no longer think about what we want. We say, God, I need to walk in your will and in your way, because truly, God, you are holy of all people. You are the holy, the holiest of all. There's nobody that is holy like the Lord. In fact, there's nobody holy but God, amen? And he grants us that holiness in our life by his grace and his mercy as well. Go over to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll get started here. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And notice what it says here in verse 24. Luke 22 and verse 24. And there was, and these are the people of God. These are the disciples of the Lord. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, listen to this, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that what? Serves. He says, I want you to know, I'm giving you the example of a servant. I'm not demanding anything. I'm not asking to, I'm showing you, I'm giving of myself to you. This is important, because if we're not careful, we walk around in our own confidence and thinking, this has got to be the will of God. And if it's in any way a conflict with the Word of God, we're wrong. And not only that, but wait a minute, we're not even in sync with the Lord. And we might think that we're in sync. Listen, were the sons of Zebedee's was the mother in right in sync with what she was asking from the Lord? No. How about the disciples, for them to say who was the greatest? Were they in sync? Were they lined up with the will of God? No. And by the way, listen, it takes the light of God to come into our lives to allow us to see how God sees everything and how God sees us. By the way, we don't have to go over there, but Peter, remember Peter? He was convinced that he was not going to deny the Lord. He was convinced of that. I'm not going to do it. These might do it, but bless God, I know who I am and I know how I stand, and I'm not going to do that. Well, he started to deny the Lord, remember? He denied him once, he denied him twice. Do you not believe that he still thought he was right? Until he saw when Peter heard the cock crow the third time, and then the Lord looked at him, and then he went out and he wept bitterly. That what happened there? The light of God shined into his life, and Peter, for the first time, or at least one of the first times anyway, he was allowed to see himself as he truly was, and he did not like the picture that he saw. But when the light of God comes in, there is rejoicing. There is grace. There is love. There is all the working of the Spirit of God that brings the light of God into a lost and dying world, beginning in our own lives. Listen, we cannot have revival if we are full of ourselves. And as a child of God, we can be full of ourselves. And by the way, listen, you find many more examples of this. Do you remember when the Lord had resurrected and they were out there fishing, and all the other disciples went with Peter as well? They went out with him, and they were, or some of them at least anyway, and they were out there fishing. And look what the light of God does. Ready? When John told him, remember when he asked him, children, have you any meat? Cast on the, I can't remember what side, was it left or the right? I think it was the left, I'm not sure. But anyway, cast on one side of the boat, and they pulled up a great big haul of fishes. And right away, what happened? Peter said, "Who? It's the Lord." He didn't wait for anything. He jumped in the water and ran out. Listen, that is the light of God shining in the life of Peter and moving him towards the Savior. Amen? And that's what God wants to do in our lives, but we have to be willing to say, Lord, I need you to guide me because I am good. You know what I'm good at? I am good at misleading myself, not into the ways of God, but away from the Lord. And the truth be known, we all need help from the Lord. Amen? We all need his help in order to walk upright in his grace and in his mercy. I don't need to tell you what happened in the book of Revelation to John the Revelator when also he had to be touched by the Lord to stand up and be brought into his presence. You and I need the same as well. So let's consider some things here as we look at our text. And let's back up to these times of trials. And look at verse 13 with me, if you will. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. Now, this was after they had gotten news that the Lord had risen again, and they were dismayed. They didn't really believe it. And they talked together of all these things, verse 14, which had happened, and it came to pass while they communed together. And I want to stop right there, but here's the thing you want to see. They were talking about the things of God, right? These two disciples, they were talking about what had happened. They were confused. They didn't understand. No doubt they were downhearted. No doubt they were confused because, you know what? Listen, they didn't see, Jesus told them, but they didn't see that he was going to go to the cross. They didn't understand that by the way, do you know what? You know when the Lord, you know the first thing the Lord did that started his ministry here on earth? He was baptized, right? Now, he was sinless, right? But he was our example, but he still did what is baptism a picture of? Death, burial, and resurrection. There is no life until there's death, burial, and the resurrection comes from God, not from ourselves. And so, and then immediately he was led by the Spirit out in the wilderness to be tempted. But anyway, we find here these disciples, and God is working with them, and they're not understanding everything that's going on. And notice where there's a fellowship and hardship that they were having. And by the way, the Lord is right in the middle of this trial, as the Lord is right in the middle of our trial, our difficulty, whatever might be discomforting us. Listen. Were these disciples discomforted about what had happened? Listen, when you and I are discomforted about things not going the way we thought they should go, amen, that happens, does it not? We have some ideas and it's not working out whose way?
Our way.
It's not working out. Bless God, that is not the way it's supposed to go. Well, hey, who are we in the first place? Do we know how it's supposed to go? There's only one person that knows how it's supposed to go. And by the way, may we say, oh God, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for being full of myself and not full of you. Lord, because I want to be yielded and pliable. And you know what the Lord says? Then follow me and be the servant. Shh. Just listen and follow and let me show you the way. Amen? Don't give us ideas. The triune God has been around well before we were ever created, and he knows more than we will ever know. And he will show us the way if we will humble ourselves and seek him. Amen. And so, because these disciples were talking and they were communing about these things, and they wanted to understand, as I pray we want to understand, verse 15, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Isn't that good? God never leaves us nor forsakes us, and here is the Lord. And by the way, if you remember, they went about 60 furlongs, right? 80 furlongs. That's 7.5 miles. That's a long trek. I don't know where in that 7.5 mile trek they were at the time that the Lord joined them, but we do know they finally got to their destination, which was 7.5 miles. Keep that in mind, because remember, they went back to tell the disciples. But we're going to look at this part here. And then notice this, what it says here. Verse 16, as we consider this, it says that, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. That's Jesus. Listen, did you know that's God's will? That is God's will for us not to always know, but to trust. Amen? We don't always have the inside scoop. You know, God has set up some things maybe the way we think they should be set up. right? We were talking about in Sunday school class how Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and one other fella, Un, I think it was his name. And Un wasn't mentioned, but Dathan, Korah, and Abiah, they went down into the pit, didn't they? They bucked against Moses because they said, you know, Moses, he's not perfect, and we can do it too. And what happened? God said, no, that's not the way. Listen, I have my authority, but then I have my delegated authority. And if you don't have respect for Moses, you don't have respect for me, and I'm going to judge you. Amen? And that's the same way that God works in our day and age. God says, I've got my authority, which is his word, but then I've got my delegated authority, and we must understand and follow God's delegated authority as well to honor him and say, listen, Lord, do you know that you put Moses, who's an imperfect individual, over us? Do you think God knew that when he did that? And by the way, when Moses stepped out of line, did God straighten him out? He did. God's not slack, and he's not a respecter of any persons, and he knows what he's doing. Amen? But may we be found compliant and yielded to God's order and God's will and God's way, lest we be the rebel and not even realize it and be out of step or out of sync with God and his will and what he's wanting to do. All right? So here he is. He's trying. By the way, the Lord on purpose is walking with these disciples to reveal to him some important truths. Now, couldn't the Lord have just been, I'm Jesus, I'm alive. Could have said that, right? But he didn't do that. He was bringing him through a process of dealing with the Lord and dealing with themselves. And so he didn't just reveal himself. He could have done that. Why didn't the Lord just end it all just like that, right? Could have just popped up. Well, how about this? How about, why not the Lord just take us all to heaven? We're saved. As soon as anybody gets saved, boom, they're gone. Wouldn't that be a witness? Man, people are getting saved. They're just disappearing. Amen? Just bring us on home. But no, that's not the will and way of the Lord. And so again, he says here, their eyes were holden, verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one toward another as ye walk and are sad? Now here's the one thing the Lord saw. They were sad. And they were talking about these things, and that was quite evident. But listen, this was not the place that God wanted the disciples to be. As also, that is not, God does not want us to be sad. That doesn't mean that God doesn't allow us to go through trials to prove and try our faith for us, but he does not want us sad. Question. If you read the Pauline prison epistles, he was encouraging believers at other churches while he was in prison. How could he do that? Because of the joy of the Lord. Rejoice once in a while. Is that how it goes? Or rejoice always, right? Always rejoice in the Lord. Now, if God wants me to do that, and here's the truth, I can't do that. But God in me can. Amen? And so, Lord, show me how to rejoice. Show me how to love at all times. Show me how to follow you. Show me how to be filled with your spirit. Show me how you want me to be the light of the world. I need you, God. And by the way, it is by him, listen, shining his light into your life and mine. I need the light of God in my life. I hope you never think that I have arrived. I don't think that I have arrived. I'm just getting started. Amen. And I want to follow the Lord and be found faithful. And here's one thing I know for sure. I need the grace of God. Amen. And I need the light of God in my life. I don't have it. I need it from the Lord. And I'm dependent on him each and every day and every moment of every day. And so here are the disciples who also need the light of the Lord. And by the way, when light comes in, darkness leaves. Light purifies. We talked about light, and it purifies things, and it removes the darkness. And so here's the light of the world coming unto them. And verse 18, and one of them, after the Lord says, what kind of conversation, what are these communications that you have one toward another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And the answer was, of course he did. He was what it was all about. But we can be so blinded by ourselves until the light of God comes in, we don't even know who we're talking to. Amen? We don't even know how God sees us. Now let me ask you a question. Possibly, maybe, I don't know. Possibly, this disciple here probably said, "Could you believe that I asked the Lord if he was just a stranger and didn't know what happened? Can you believe I actually said that to Jesus himself, who had it happen to him, right? The whole event was about, can you believe?" You know what he must have thought about later on? Man, that was not my brightest moment. Amen? That was not my wisest question I've ever asked before. And so, verse 19, "And he said unto them, what things?" Isn't that amazing? Look at the grace of God. He says, "What things?" He says, "Tell me. I want to hear what you have to say." Aren't you glad that's the kind of God that you serve? That in the midst of our confusion, are you listening to me? In the midst of our confusion, God is patient and long-suffering with us. In the midst of our slow to learn, slow, how slow? Real slow. How slow? Because if we weren't slow, we'd be having revival right now. It's not God's fault. Where's the fault lie? On the door of our house. Amen. Hey, Lord, we need you, oh God. May we realize, Lord, we need you, or we don't even understand what we think we understand. And what we think we understand is probably not right in your sight. And so they had their understanding. This guy was a stranger. He didn't know anything about it. Verse 19, "And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth." Isn't that amazing? That, you know, there he was, listening to them, "which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." And God was still working with them. They were so in the dark that Jesus was right in front of them, and they didn't even know who he was. Is that possible, that we could have God right in front of us and miss him completely? Can that happen? Oh, may we say yes. That can happen all the time, every day, unless we're dependent upon the Lord. And unless, listen to this. Listen, we need, don't get me wrong. Listen, we need the doctrine of the Word of God, but the doctrine of the Word of God will never do what the light of God can do in the life of the believer. You understand that? You can learn doctrine all day long and not have the light of God. The Pharisees were good at that, amen? Amen. By the way, these disciples walked with the Lord for some 3.5 years. The light was right in front of them. And do you not think they understood what had happened to the Lord Jesus Christ? Did they not understand the doctrine of the crucifixion? Absolutely they did. They did, but did they understand the resurrection? No, they missed that completely. They missed that completely. See, listen, I know the Bible. How about the Word of the Bible? Amen? How about the living Word of the Word of God? How about the light of the Lord? Amen? That's what we need to see. We get that by the Word of God, but let's not just stop right there and stop short of the glory of God that comes from Him and Him alone. You cannot get to the Lord Jesus Christ on your own. Can't do it. You can study till you're blue in the face. Until the light of God comes in, there's no conviction. The light of God must come in, and may we not be negligent and forget how important the Lord is and the light of God and the life of God in us. That's what gives us eternal life, is the light of God. Okay, so, and notice they go on, and they tell in verse 20, "And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted," they're revealing their hearts, "we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Didn't even click. Remember, the Lord told them, "I'm going to be crucified. But the third day, guess what, fellas? I'm rising up." Amen? "I'm going to be resurrected." So here they are saying, it never even dawned on them. But and this is the third day. What happened about the Lord telling you that he was going to rise again on the third day? Never entered into their mind. And guess what? It won't ever enter into our minds either, unless the light of God comes in. Unless God gives us wisdom and understanding, you can know it. And you can. We look back on this side. How did they miss that? We would have too. We would have missed the very same thing unless the light of God is given to us. So he says, verse 22, "Yea, and certain women also of our..." Now listen, this is what's important. They had the correct trust, but they did not have the correct understanding. Listen to this. These women, they saw the empty tomb, did they not? They saw the angel. They saw some things, but God had to illuminate their understanding. Remember, One of them said, tell me where you've taken him, and I'll go get him. And then she says, and then the Lord says, Mary, and she says, Rabboni, right? And what was that? That was the light of God coming into her life. She also did not understand. But listen, she was giving a living witness, a personal witness from God himself that compelled her to go back and tell these disciples right here what had happened to them. That was a good witness. But a good witness without the witness of God is not a good witness that brings life. So in other words, they had a good witness from somebody who got a witness from God that where God gave them life to the truth, right? So they're hearing, that's the right witness. You want a Holy Spirit, a God-blessed witness that's coming from somebody else into your life, but then we also need a witness as well. So let me just share it to you like this. It works like this. I had somebody tell me about Jesus, and I did, and you did also, who was truly saved. Amen? And I believe what they were saying to a certain extent. But when did it become real for me? When God gave me his light. When I saw my sin, and that's God's work as well, lighting his light into my life, and oh, I'm the sinner, Lord. And save me, O God. Now God gave me not just a witness, but he gave me a salvation that is my witness. It's a living witness that I can carry and tell somebody else about. Amen. But when will that witness become good for them? See? It ought to move us to tell people about the Lord, but it becomes powerful to them when they trust the Lord and receive light into their own life. That's salvation, but we also need that kind of a witness for everyday life. How often did Paul see God working in his life? Was it not continually? And he was a witness to that. And so he was telling others about that. And then in turn, they were receiving the light and they were getting saved. You remember the jailer that was going to do himself in? And he said, and by the way, they were in the darkness. And Paul said, hey, don't do yourself any harm. And then he called in for a light. And then he said, listen, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They saw, this Philippian jailer saw the witness of Paul. And then he said, look, there was no communication about salvation. He was just watching Paul and the life of Paul as he was being charged with all these things. And somewhere in the recesses of his heart, he said, I see something different in this man. That's why he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you know that same different thing that Paul had is the same different thing that you and I have, and that's God. Amen. It has to be the Lord. And if it's not the Lord, the world will never see. The world will never see. But listen, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the light of God in the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. You can have all the doctrine you want. That's not going to get anybody saved until the Spirit of God is working. Amen. It's not going to happen. So be careful. And by the way, people, they think they know about the Spirit, but there's no work going on. There's no work. There's no change of life. Listen, that's not the light of God if we're walking in darkness. I didn't say you weren't saved. It's not the heart of God if we're walking disobedient to the Lord's will and towards his way, and if we're involved in doing things that he says explicitly not to do. We're doing the same thing that the disciples would do as they walk in darkness. A saved child of God. But then we wonder why there's no revival, why there's no life in me, amen? And every individual believer ought to look to who? Themselves, to see how they stand, whether they be in the faith or not. Whether they be in compliant to the Word of God and to the will of God. Not ours, not what we think, but what does the Bible have to say about God's will and God's way for me, amen? Not what I've done, not what everybody's always done. What does the Word of God have to say, all right? So notice, again, verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished. They had a good witness. They made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. That was Peter and John. Remember they went too? And that was a good witness, but when did it become real for these disciples? When did it change their lives? Because that's the same way it's going to change ours. This is written for our instruction. This is written for our understanding. That we don't get caught up in our religion, in our ritualistic practice, and leave God out. Because it's easy to do that. See, there are people that are teaching and preaching all different kinds of things that if we're careful, if we're not careful, we miss the Lord out of it. And so, verse 25, then he said unto them, now we find, here's the Lord, and he's talking to them, and now God is going to make sense to them and bring light into the darkness. See, before there was a personal revelation from the Lord, that's good, that's important, that's part of it. But you have to have, and you had witnesses of others. Didn't we have some witnesses of other people? They were helping, but still there had to be a personal witness. Let me ask you this question. These two disciples, were they happy, or does the Bible say Jesus said they had a sad countenance? That's not how the Lord wanted them. Did they not get a true witness from people that had seen the Lord or had seen the empty tomb? They did get a good witness. When was their life changed? Well, he says this, verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Isn't that the truth? You know what he's saying? You missed the word of God. The word of God, you knew it, you heard it, but they didn't understand it. Is that the same for us? We can know, we can hear, but we don't understand it. Absolutely, amen. And so he says this, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? And to enter into his glory, the light comes in. The light comes in. Do you see how he answered them? Only Jesus, amen? Listen, those women that saw him and John and Peter who saw the empty tomb, they could have told this to those disciples. It would have never meant a thing to them. They could have said, ought Christ not to have suffered? Yeah, well, I'm not sure. I don't know. But notice, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and made as though he would have gone further. This is the Lord, and he made. So he was getting ready to go, and they were in a good place, amen? And their hearts were already burning, because the Bible tells us that. And they were already excited. And notice what happens in verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. You know, many let Christ go before the blessing. Many hear and, okay, see you later, Lord. And they miss him. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. Who opened their eyes? God did, Jesus. Could they have done it themselves? Never. Never. They could have never done it. And listen, he was right there in front of them. Their eyes were not open until they compelled him to come in. They could have let him go and their eyes would have never been open. Imagine that. Is it possible for a believer to never have a saved child of God, a believer, and never have their eyes open to God? You're seeing it right there. That's not a good place to be. And so now God's given them the right kind of understanding. Amen? Amen. Who do we need to give us the right kind of understanding? You need the Lord. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. We need the Lord to open up our hearts and minds to walk in His ways, or we'll walk in our own way. I've done it. Amen? I believe every child of God. Peter did it. These disciples were doing it. That is our natural soulish life. That is the natural way to look at it. Well, that's not right. I don't think things ought to. This is how I would do it. Lord, you need to set up three tents here, and we'll just camp right here. That's not His will. Lord, listen. And this is what the devil loves to do. Ready? Lord, you shouldn't go to the cross. That's his flesh. That was the soul of Peter, caring for the things that be of men. That's how the devil works. You shouldn't be treated that way. Aren't we servants? However God chooses to lead us and how he wants us to be treated. Lord, I trust you. Amen? Amen? And that's why the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but of men. Oh, the devil loves. That's the way the devil works in the flesh. So their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. And we're going to finish up here very quickly. So here's the correct understanding. Their eyes are open. And now we have the witness of God. Ready? Look at verse 32. And they said one to another. This is a different conversation. Remember the first conversation as they were talking one to another? This is a little bit different. Amen? Let me ask you what kind of conversation you want to have. The one in the mully grubs or this one right here that God brings? And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? We need the scriptures open. Don't get me wrong. Listen, you must read the word of God, but God must open the scriptures. Or you'll study and you'll study and you'll know facts and you'll know all different kinds of things, but you won't have the scriptures opened. Right. A lot of people are very, very intellectual scholars in the word of God, but they don't have the word of God opened. And they don't, because they're so full of themselves, they know it all. They don't need any help from the Lord. Just study more and write books and more books and more books and more books. And they don't even know Jesus. Can that happen?
Yes.
You're seeing it right there. We need God to open the scriptures up to us to help us understand the truth that he's given to us as his children, that his light might come into our life and that his light in our life might be the light that goes out into a dark and dying world. That's what he wants us to do. All right? Now notice, let's read 32 again. And they said one to another, listen, this is so good. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. The same hour. They went 7.5 more miles. And returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them saying, look at the witness they're giving. The Lord is risen indeed. But they didn't see them, did they? It's a good witness. It's an important witness. They did the right thing. But it doesn't make it where it needs to be. They did the right thing, but those disciples needed a personal revelation from the Lord. They needed the light of God into their lives. So notice, saying, verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Now they know it. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. That's a good witness. You know why? Because it's a witness of God and what he did. That's a good thing. That's an important, that's the way it works. But it doesn't come to full fruition until the individual hearing that witness gets the light of God in them. And then God makes it all alive. Amen? So this morning, do we want God to open up the scriptures to us? Do we want the light, listen, do we want the light of God to come into our lives so that we might see how undone we are as his children and how much we have missed the Lord? Because it is the Lord's will that you and I be the light and the salt of the earth. And Brother Jason mentioned, look at all these empty seats. May God fill it with souls, but you and I are the instrument. And God needs a vessel for his honor and glory. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But we got to say, oh, Lord, shine your light in my life and let me repent. I don't need that. I read my Bible and I pray. Do you think these disciples read the word of God and prayed? Absolutely they did. But they needed the light of God. They need the. Listen, if we don't do anything different, can we expect a different outcome? Lord, I need you to show me the difference that you make. Listen, Lord, may you make a difference in my life. Now, it doesn't work if you said, yes, Lord, make a difference in the preacher's life. No, you have to say, Lord, make a difference in my life. Because if we're not careful, here's revival. Here's revival of the day. Well, when I see a church in revival, then I'll go over there and see what's going on. That's not the way God said to do it. He said, if my people shall humble themselves and then call on me. Amen. You know what humility says? I need you, God. I need you. Lord, the world needs you, and you've called us to be your servants. Amen. And that you might honor and glorify yourself in and through our lives. And Lord, look at these empty chairs. Lord, give me a heart of compassion that says, oh God, that these chairs might be filled with souls and salvation of souls. Oh, Lord. But we've got to be on the same page with the Lord. And we've got to say, oh, God, make a difference in our lives. I need the Lord. And I'm the only one that can seek the Lord for myself and you're the only one that can seek the Lord for yourself, here's the question. Do we really want God? Would you stand? Do we really want the light of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you, Lord, for your word, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, quicken it with your spirit. Bring it to light. Bring it to life in us. Guide us, Lord, that we might see your glory and honor you. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.